So I just want to pray before we get started, because this all transpired within a few hours ago. So we're just saying, okay, Lord, have your way here. Amen. So, Father, we do give you this time. Lord, I thank you for each person that's here tonight. And Lord, you know what we have need of before we ask. And we just thank you for what you're doing even in our midst. Give us ears to hear and a heart to receive. Lead and guide in Jesus' name. Amen. As I was mentioning to those who were here right at the beginning, you know, of course, there's been a lot of different viruses and stuff going around, and when you have someone whose immune system has just been reset, that can be a challenging time, and someone whose lungs have been affected by it all, by the whole disease and process, again, can be a challenging time. So the last few days have been rough, because apparently for about a week, I would think for about a week, he has kind of fought off whatever has been going around. But being someone who has walked through this journey with him and knowing about the immune system and the whole reset and understanding that no matter where he is, how he's feeling right now, of course, it's easier for me to say I'm standing here, I'm not walking through what he's walking through. But I can say it's still God that he didn't get full-fledged any of the viruses that were going around, the things that he was exposed to. Because, I mean, even our son Tim was, the body aches and everything. I mean, it was pretty bad. And so, again, what I'm seeing, I'm not enjoying seeing, but at the same time, I rejoice in the fact that it could have been worse, and that means his immune system is kicking in and God's got us. So, but as I was watching him, because originally he got up this morning a little bit better and thought, okay, it's going to be okay, we're going to make it through. And then watching him throughout the day, it's like, don't know about that. He hasn't had to have oxygen since that Sunday. You guys saw me walk in here with the tank up until the last few days. So now, thankfully, it's not been all day. We still have a lot to be thankful for, but we don't want it at all. So we're standing on that. But as things were progressing today, and I looked at him, I'm like, okay, well, what were you speaking on? What was in your heart? And one comment stood out to me. He was sharing, and I've got his notes here, and we're going over the notes, but he kept saying what we've been talking of, to host his presence. And that just is, I'm like, well, I can do that. Because I know not everyone here is necessarily on social media, but one thing that God had put on my heart, I am not the social media person that's going to go around taking all these selfies and in it for social media, okay? But something that's really dear to my heart that he has called me into, I know, is mentorship, discipleship. And I got to a point, at one point, it was like, but Lord, I have no one. You've put this on my heart. It's burning in me. I have these different words or messages, and yet I've got no one to share it with. And he said, I gave you a tool. Well, yeah, okay. For what it's worth, okay, I'll use that tool. And from there, I just kind of watched God do it. Of course, he knew even before then the journey we were going to be walking in and the audience that would be there. This past weekend, I was at a Louisiana District Ladies Conference, just there to serve and to help out. And so many people coming up Thank you for sharing. I've followed your journey. We're praying. Just person after person. And some of them I knew, some of them I may have met at a previous event. Some of them don't even ask me who they were. But that's what God can do with the story. And in that, one thing that as we were going through this journey, and like I said, I'd had that platform. We have family and friends just all over, missionary friends, et cetera. So one of the ways to keep everyone updated without trying to text and email and all was through social media. But I never wanted it to be one of those things that it was, oh, woe is me. Because one thing with me as a believer, like I said, that's a tool. But I'm also careful with that tool because it's out there not just for the believers. Once you put something out there on social media, it's out there. And I wanted to always point back to my Lord. And that actually, for those who know anything about the hashtags, that became my hashtag, was one of them, to host his presence. Because I wanted every story that I gave to turn it back to him. So when Ralph said, well, what I was going to share, you know, that's the focus we're headed to, was to host his presence. I'm like, okay, I can do that. So I'm going to touch some of his notes and then throw in some of the things that immediately came to my mind as he said that one statement. One area of great importance is that we need to be a people who honors God. We honor both the Father and we honor the Son. One of the ways we're going to do this too is also honoring the Spirit. They are three in one. We welcome him. Now, there's a difference between honoring the Spirit and worshiping the Spirit, and that's not for tonight, but we worship Christ. He is our Savior. We honor the Spirit, and there is a difference between the two. We do not put the Holy Spirit up at, it's three in one, but it's still three. And even Christ gave honor to the Father. We've got to keep everything in order. First Samuel 2:27. A man of God came to Eli and said, "Thus says the Lord, did I not clearly reveal myself to the house of your father when they were in Egypt in Pharaoh's house? Therefore, the Lord God of Israel says, I said indeed that your house and the house of your father would walk before me forever. Now the Lord says, far be it from me, for those who honor me, I will honor. Those who despise me shall be lightly esteemed." Prophetically speaking, he goes into verse 35. I will raise up for myself a faithful priest, which we know was Christ Jesus, who shall do according to what is in my heart and in my mind. I will build him a sure house. He shall walk before my anointed forever. That house, he wants a house. When you think about, I grew up, for those who don't know, in a pastor's home. And I was not the PK, you know, you hear all the stories about the PK and MK kids and the mess that they have. And you hear a lot of the PK kids grow up talking about what all they went through. I don't know what happened with me. I was not that typical PK kid. I honestly, naively thought everybody in the world wanted to be a PK kid because that was just the best thing in life, right? But I didn't know some of the other stories. If you ask my children, they've seen some of the other stories. They would not have said that, but that's the way I was. But what happened in our home often was we hosted a lot. Events were at our home all the time. My mom was an amazing hostess, and it didn't matter who you were, she's going to get the fine china, the fine everything out. It was going to be nice. He wants a big house to dwell in, and he wants us to host him. He wants us to set the table for him to just come and fellowship with us. John 4:23-24, the hour is coming and now is when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. This is what the Father is seeking. He's seeking those who, in spirit and truth, with their whole heart, they want to be one with him. They want to host his presence. Sometimes it takes a bigger house for that. Matthew 15, we'll get into also, you know, sometimes with our words, people are saying things, but yet the heart's not there. He wants the heart. The conference I was just at this weekend, the speaker just gave such a great analogy, just talking about how we are body, soul, and spirit. And how often do we start our processing with body, and then we get it to the soul and spirit. So we're seeing something broken, and we create an attitude about it. And then we take it, and it'll affect our soul and our spirit. But yet, the closer we get to him, the more we're hosting his presence and becoming intimate with him, it goes the other way. We first take it to him, and then we inform our soul and our body so that our reaction is what it should be, what he would want us to have. Spirit to spirit, that's it. That's what it is. We have to be willing to embrace being different. I love that part that any of you, and I'm sure most of here have watched parts or all of The Chosen. You know, it's get used to different. That's one of the sayings that has come out of that, get used to different. He wants us to be different. You know, as I saw that note here in Ralph's notes, and I was thinking, and I shared this with a couple of people a few Wednesday nights ago, we just had such a powerful time down. It was like a warfare prayer that was going on. And one thing that I was over here in worship and just felt, you know, the river, Lord, the river is here. The river, and it's been here before. And then he reminded me of a prophetic word that someone gave here years ago about it flowing from the balcony, even, and just coming down, just a pure river. But immediately I knew, but it's not going to be the same. It's not supposed to be the same. Growing up in a pastor's home, I've seen a lot, too. Of course, I grew up back in the day. You had Sunday school Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, and you never missed a thing, especially if you're in the pastor's home. And we had revival services back then, every night for a week, and maybe it would go to 2 weeks or 3 weeks. I've seen a lot of the different moves. I mean, I can still remember the church, small country church. We held about 200, 250, but I can remember it being packed and just being in the back and watching us, you know, people in the front, you know, the ministers going back, can you hear me? And, you know, their hearing's being healed. Are the ones, they're sitting on the front and, you know, the legs and a leg that grows. I mean, just, I remember all these things. I remember the Brownsville. I remember the down, you know, the dance in the river, you know, the jump in the river. It's not that this time. It's not going to be that. Why? Because he wants new wineskins. It always has to be something new. Because he's getting us closer and closer to him, more and more like him, we're constantly having to be changed. That's what makes us more and more like him. You think about chiseling a diamond. What's going to make it more and more beautiful? The more you polish it. The more you polish it. The more you work with it. That's what happens with us, with our heart and with our spirit. And so what I was just picturing was just, it's a holiness. It's not going to be the same playful. That's not what he's wanting. It's a purity. And what is it for? So it can be rushed out and go to the city, go to the people. That's always what he wants to do. He's wanting to prepare us to hold the new wineskin. As I was thinking of all of this, and you know, look again, when Ralph immediately said to host his presence, and my hashtag came to mind. The other thing that came to mind was a picture I have on my blog. Years ago, I was challenged because I love to write, and I was challenged to start a blog. And I was doing great keeping up with my blog until we hit transplant time last year. And then I didn't have as much time. It all became more the social media, and I know I've got to get back to my blog. I mean, even going over it, getting ready for tonight in the last hour, it started ministering back and challenging me again. It's like, okay, Lord, I need to get back. But one of the pictures that came to mind was one that there is a table. When I started the blog, I just praying about a name. And he just kept getting me back to where my strength really lied. So often, and I've experienced this much from being the pastor's kid and how everyone sees you. I mean, I was a Brown. To this day, I can go to any of the Louisiana district meetings, and all I have to say is, "Hi, I'm Eugene Brown's daughter." Ah, you know, everyone just immediately, there's a correlation there in the mind. With that, though, and then now it's, I'm Ralph Enzavino's wife. You know, same thing. But that's not how God sees it. Too often we in humanity, we get this Wonder Woman mentality, this one Superman mentality, and that's where we put people. We're all just broken humans. That's all we are. So in the midst of it, he was leading me, "Where's your strength? You're going to talk about your strength." With that came the name of my blog, In Secret Strength. And one of the ones I put a picture up of a table. Going off of the scripture, he sets a table before us in the presence of our enemies. This I put there at the same time that we found out about amyloid. Amyloid, the unknown enemy, such a rare condition that even at Baylor, they're now using his case, true story, they're now using his case with the eyes to teach others because so few people will ever, in the medical field, will ever run across anyone with amyloidosis. Our enemy is no longer hiding, but is now being flushed out and is on the run. It is not an easy journey. And I go in talking about, you know, the chemo and everything. And the times it was just like, Lord, where are you? Where are you? But he always got me back. And with this, he's like, the table was set. Our table has been graced with little miracles here and there. As I sit down by him and take rest, he reveals to me the miracles that are all around. Just the fact that we were sent to Baylor when we were. Because literally, and I kid you not, because the whites of his eyes were peeling back, and we had gone through, there were so many different things going on and with him, and we kept hearing, I know there's something wrong, but I don't know what it is. The eye doctor literally said, your tests are coming back negative, but I can look at you and say there's something there. That's what got us to Baylor. Got us to someone who had actually seen something similar with eyes and who actually ended up doing the right test to find out. And then we find out we got there just in the nick of time because amyloidosis typically is 3 to 5 year lifespan. And I would say we were at least 3 years without knowing it. So that's a little miracle. He got us there just in time. He prepared a table before us. We just didn't know it yet. So that was one of the ones that he had me get to. And then the other one was all the same. I'm going somewhere with this. This isn't about my story. I'm going somewhere with this. But there's a song that just before all of this, we had heard. We actually were having Thanksgiving with Ralph's brother and his family, and we'd all just gone around just to give a thankfulness, you know, what we were thankful for at that time. But then and they had gone through a lot with the birth of their the grandson, and just the testimony that here this young couple were saying, and then she just started singing the song Highlands and Lowlands, and I had not heard it before, and it was just such a beautiful one. And then that song just kept being there in my mind. And so this is what I ended up putting. This past week was difficult, watching my husband struggle for air, constantly having to lie down due to weakness or pain. I felt helpless. I found myself often without words to say to him in the midst of his fight with discouragement. There have been times when I just had to cry out to God on my own about his condition. Why have we not seen him healed? This man who has prayed the prayer of faith over others and seen miracles has been fighting for his life. Faith for healing. And I go into some of that. If anyone asks me whether or not I believe God can heal, absolutely. Yet others will have the opinion that I actually live in doubt because we've not seen the healing. That's a whole nother topic. And one I've had to walk through often during this journey. In the past couple of weeks, God has been showing me more about his perspective. As I go to him seeking an understanding, he's not always given me the answers. Instead, he sent me messages by way of notes or calls from other people. And each time I read a note, it's as if I feel God tapping me on the shoulder saying, see, it's not about you. It's about them. The song, these are the lyrics of the song. How high would I climb mountains if the mountains were where you hide? How far I'd scale the valleys if you grace the other side? How long have I chased rivers from lowly seas to where they rise, against the rush of grace descending from the source of its supply? 'Cause in the highlands and the heartache, you're neither more or less inclined. I would search and stop at nothing. You're just not that hard to find. I will praise on the mountain. I will praise you when the mountain is in my way. You're the summit where my feet are, so I will praise you in the valleys all the same. No less God within the shadows, no less faithful when the night leads me astray. 'Cause you're the heaven where my heart is, in the highlands, and the heartache all the same. It really doesn't matter what we're going through, he's all the same. And every time I would hit another one of those valleys, another one of those walls, he would get me back to him. And he's still doing it. Even tonight, even earlier before the services, I'm reading some of this. Why? Because I want to host his presence. He wants me to host his presence. One of my articles mentioned about a time at work. Okay, I remember I'm the preacher's kid that wanted to be a preacher's kid and thought everybody wanted to be a preacher's kid. All the other kids are outside playing. My husband, you hear that the kids love hearing his stories of all the antics that he and his brothers got into. And they'll look at me and say, "Mom, tell us stories." I lined up all my dolls and I played the piano. And they all got saved every single time. They got baptized. They got saved. They listened to me do the songs, the preach the word. All. That's who I was. That's me. So here I am. I kid you not, there's never been a foul language that has come out of my mouth. But not only that, I didn't grow up hearing it. Neither one of my parents ever set foot in a theater. Neither one of my parents have ever said a foul word. I mean, this is the way I lived. Yes, I heard it at school. Yes, I've heard it out there. I've heard it on TV. Okay. Then I go to work full time. When we get back to Baton Rouge with a bunch of women. I didn't know women would speak like sailors. I'm sitting in a cubicle and there's, 20-something women in our, and of course, the cubicle I'm at, I'm next to the one who has the worst. There are things that comes out of her mouth that never would have even come to my mind. I didn't even know those words existed. I didn't know those sayings existed. And I'm just sitting there, and I get my headphones, and I'm just praying, you know. But there was one time, understand, I did not walk in there with a sign saying who I am. Hopefully, I don't need to. But I also didn't want people, I wanted people to be able to be real and to know me for who I am. Not a title. I don't need a title on my head saying I'm the pastor's wife. No. Because I'm not the pastor's wife, I'm the daughter of the Most High God. That's all that matters. No other title matters. So anyway, I'm sitting there, and there was one day, you know, some of them knew just because of, I guess, my interview, and they, I don't know how they knew. But there was one time, there was a lady talking to the other one, cubicle next, and something slips out, and then she pops over. And then she's like, "Did she hear that?" I heard it. I didn't say anything. But the one next to me is like, "Oh, don't worry about it. She hears me all the time." And I then just busted out laughing. But you know what? That same person, when there was a tragedy in her family, did she call? Because it's important that we not walk in with labels, but we walk in with the presence. As I have borne everything out on social media or in my blog, and I have been raw with where I've been. One of them, before we got this far into everything, he had just been in the ER in Dallas. I had to rush to Dallas. Blood pressure sky high. Again, everything that they would say is probably a stroke, and yet there's no sign of a stroke. You didn't have a stroke, although you had all the symptoms. And this was like the third or fourth time we'd walked through this. And at this point, I literally just hit a wall. I had no words to say. And he taught me something then. I shared it. Each time, if we allow him, he's teaching us something. But you know what? I've gone through all of this. And this is not, because heaven knows, I don't want anyone to have to go through any of it. But last summer, I went to a ladies' conference just down in Prairieville that I was invited to just come and rest. They knew what I'd been through. Just come and be blessed. And I walked in, and all these ladies who had been praying for me, and they're hugging me, and then they're coming up, and they're like, "But the glory is with you." Dear God, I was broken, and I didn't feel anything. But the glory is shining. It's that secret strength. And I just thought it was so, as he's putting this on my heart, and it's like, okay, Lord, we want to host your presence. But sometimes we go through junk to host his presence. Why? Because he's fashioning us. Go study Isaiah. Go study Jeremiah. Go study the potter when he says, "I'll make again another vessel." I love the story whenever God told him, "Go down to the potter's house." There's a lot of different vessels mentioned in Scripture, and each one has a different place. But there's that broken vessel that just gets broken and marred. And what does the potter do? He picks it up. He crushes it to dust. He adds the wetness and makes clay, and he makes again another vessel better than the first. That's another little miracle. He has given us little miracles throughout this journey. But the biggest miracle is that someone can look at me and see him, because that's all I want. We're living in a day there's a lot of junk going on in our world. There's people right here that they're being hit with one thing after another. He's going to make it again another vessel, a beautiful vessel. As we learn to host his presence and let those other little miracles happen. God's my father. And I know that to some people that's not a nice saying, because they grew up with abusive fathers or whatever. Take it from someone who grew up with a father who's my hero. He's a wonderful father. But he knows me. He knows every single thing about me, and he allows me to be me. And I can tell you this, I have gone and I have yelled at him. Not in disrespect. There's a fine line. But I've yelled out at him, "God, I don't understand. But what happens is then you let it break you and give him time to respond. And every time, if you're done, I have something to say to you. He taps me on that shoulder all the time. I can get aggravated and all of a sudden, all right, I'm done. That's the only way we're going to host his presence, is allow him to work. Be real with him. Allow him. Trust him. I've not understood the journey. I still don't understand. The last few days watching him on that oxygen again has been hard. But I stood here in worship again and I said, but I trust you. I trust him no matter what. And when we are hosting his presence, we can step foot into the world around us and they see a difference. Because I don't want to host his presence to have a joy party. I want to host his presence to touch a world. That's what it's all about. That's what I want to challenge us with tonight. And it was completely different than my husband. We are two total different beings. But it's the same word and it's the same God. Your strength lies in him. You ever want to know where my strength is? It's that secret place. And that secret place looks different for everyone. For me, I started reading my Bible every day in fifth grade. I was a night owl. I loved to read at night and just study. That worked through college. Then I got married. It didn't work anymore. Why? Because my husband was not a night owl. He was an early bird. So I did try some. It worked sometimes. Sometimes it didn't. Then I had kids. Guess what? You get on the baby schedule, which isn't always even a schedule. Sometimes it was as I was rocking a baby middle of the night, because in the morning time, you're just too sleepy. At night, you can't wait to get a few minutes sleep because you don't know when you're going to be woke up. Then the kids go off to school. So then it's after they go to school and I'm home, I have my quiet time. It changed each time. And when I found myself back in Baton Rouge, having to clock in at an office at 7:00 in the morning, guess what? This night owl started getting up at 4:30 in the morning because it's the only time I can have my time. But that's my secret place. The past year or the year during the whole transplant, it all looked completely different. In fact, it's just been whatever happens that day sometimes. But it's okay because all those other years I had my secret place. And it's here now. I've prepared that table. I'm hosting him. I've got it set. I've got it set for my Lord, my Savior. And I'm meeting him there. Will, if you can just put something on. I just want to close with that challenge. Each of us have different things in life that we're facing. It's not always easy. Think about this couple right here and the challenges that they're facing already. But they're embracing it. Why? Because they're embracing it with the Father. Father. It's not going to always be easy. They're going to have their days of saying, God, I am not up to this. I have gone to him over and over and said, you've picked the wrong person. I cannot do this. And I break. And then he holds me. And I cry, and he holds me. And then I'm like, okay, so what are we doing now? Because he just gave me that strength again. Tonight, I just want to open this up. Anything that you guys need prayer with, whether you want to seek him more of, Lord, how does this fit in my life for hosting? Or maybe it's you're hitting a wall like I did, and you just need someone to hit that wall with you. He showed me a lot when I hit that wall. He showed me Jericho. Seven days. And what did God, those first days? Don't say a word. Because I hit that wall saying, God, I don't even know what to say. I don't know. It was gone. He said, that's how Jericho started. Maybe you're hitting a wall. I don't know. Maybe you just need someone to stand with you. You need another little miracle. The altars are open. We're here to pray. Just be there with you. Father, we just thank you, Lord. God, that it all points to you. You are our strength. You are the one we want to host. We put the table out and say, come, Father, come. In Jesus' name.